Good morning and welcome again to Mosaic House Church. I thought it would be worthy of mentioning this one more time. For the month of January, we are starting this brand new series called God in the Movies. As you have heard Christopher say, the reason we are doing this is this. Listen, John Calvin, one of the reformers, he preached so eloquently. He said, the knowledge of ourselves leads to the knowledge of God. And then he turns around and he says, the knowledge of God leads us to the knowledge of ourselves. Meaning, the more we find out who we are, what we are like at the core, we begin to realize who God is like. And the more we discover what God is like, we begin to discover who we are truly. And isn't it true that in movies, we find some of our dreams and longings and fears of our lives? And that's why we enjoy movies so much. The more we begin to realize what our issues are, whether it be a dream or a hope, then we begin to realize, is there some truth to that in terms of who God is and what he has in store for us? And that's the reason we are doing God in the Movies. And it's a perfect opportunity for you and for me to invite our friends to say, hey, will you come and watch the movie with me? You also are able to enjoy the movie a lot more if you discuss about that with your friends. And for that, you can also go to our website, mosaichouse.ca, and find a house church that is doing the movie discussion as well. So please check that out. The first movie that we're going to watch, the first movie that we're going to talk about this morning is Lion. As we have heard, if you're going to watch that with us, it'll be showing this coming Friday in the lower level at 7:30. Lion is a 2016 drama film directed by Garth Davis. I was surprised to find out that this was his feature debut. This was his first movie, and the movie has done so well. The movie is based on the biographical book A Long Way Home by Saru Brierley. The film stars some of the well-known movie actors. Dev Patel, remember the movie Million Dollar Slumdog? That's the guy. Rooney Mara, David Wenham. David Wenham, you might recognize him as the one-eyed Spartan in the movie 300. And of course, Nicole Kidman. And the movie tells a story, a true story, of how Saru, 25 years later, after being separated from his family in India, he sets out to find them. The movie received 6 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Adapted Screenplay as well. The film has done quite well, and it was a big success, so much so that it is one of the highest grossing Australian films of all time. And it grossed over $160 million worldwide. So I'm gonna show you the trailer portion of this movie. And then here's what I want you to see. As a trailer, it just depicts the big storyline. But I want you to see some of the nuances that you may be able to capture and discover in this trailer. So let's watch this.
Let's start with where you're from.
Calcutta.
Which part?
I'm adopted, I'm not really Indian. I'm starting to remember.
Saru, you're a beautiful boy.
You're very proud of yourself.
A life I'd forgotten.
Are you okay?
I had another family. A mother. A brother. I can still see their faces.
What happened?
Idhar ja mat. Main kal ka kaam nibat ke aa jaunga.
Guddu? Guddu?
I have to find my way back home.
How long were you on the train?
A couple of days.
A couple of days. Let go!
It would take a lifetime to search all the stations in India.
Do you have any idea what it's like? How every day my real brother screams my name?
I always thought that I could keep this family together.
I need you, Saru.
What if you do find home and they're not even there? And you just keep searching?
I don't have a choice.
What was she like?
Beautiful. Every night I imagine that I'm walking those streets home, and I know every single step of the way. And I whisper in her ear, I'm here.
Before I start, you will see a phone number on the screen momentarily. I am suspecting that some of you might want to send in some questions or comments following the message. So that's the text number to which you may send your questions for clarification or for a comment. And time allowing, I will address them all towards the end. How many of you have seen the movie Lion? Okay. How many of you found the movie emotionally charged and satisfying? Okay. I, for one, I was deeply moved. One, because it's based on a true story. Okay. Saru wrote this book for himself, A Long Way Home, his quest, his search to find his family back in India. But now the book got turned into a movie, and it is a quite captivating depiction of his life. And there are many themes in this movie. There's a theme of adoption, the Australian couple played by Nicole and Wenham. They bring this very ideal family, parents, for Saru and his another adopted brother from India. Other themes may deal with justice, social issues that are going on in India, other parts of the world. There is exploitation, injustice, all kinds of evil things happening against children in India. But for me, more than anything else, the main theme of the movie and the story is this. It's homecoming for this man who felt the longing and the quest, the yearning for come back home, find his lost family. And fundamentally, that is at the very heart. And isn't it true that I have the experience of getting lost? Maybe some of you have. Maybe that happens every day when you drive. Okay? Or actually being lost. Okay? Now, so here is where the story plot thickens. He got lost from his family. He struggles for, I think in the movie, about 2-3 months, and it was quite dangerous for him on the streets of Calcutta. And then finally he finds himself in an orphanage where he gets adopted into this Australian family played by Nicole and Wenham. Now, he grows up as a quite competent young man. From the outside, he looks fantastic. From the outside, he looks like he has his life together. He is going to the university. He has a girlfriend. He has parents who love him, and he has his life ahead of him, and everything's going well. But then, boom, something happens. Something triggers in his mind. So that's the movie clip that we're going to watch now. And then watch what he says. You will hear the words, "I am lost." Let's watch this.
गुड्डू
You okay?
So? I'm not from Calcutta. I'm lost.
Did you hear that? He says, I'm not from Calcutta. I am lost. This is a fundamental, universal human need. Each and every one of you, including me, we feel we are lost. The Bible calls this, the theologian calls this, the doctrine of alienation. We feel estranged. We feel lost. Everything may be going well for you. You may have a good family. You may have a good career. Or your life will be a wreck. And you will feel, either very subtly, the feeling of being lost, or overwhelmingly, the feeling of being lost. It's different than getting lost. Let me compare. When my family moved from Korea to the U.S. back in 1981, I was 14 years old, did not speak a word of English. Well, that's not true. I could have said hero. Anyhow, the first day of school, my older brother, who was 13 months older than I, and I, we went to this junior high. We got on the bus from home. We got off the bus, went to the school, and I don't remember anything on that day as to what happened, because I understood nada, okay? All I remember is this. After the school, my brother and I were supposed to catch the bus. Well, we didn't know that. No one told us that. So we missed the bus, and there we were. We got lost. We didn't know how to get home. And I remember following my older brother, and he, my older brother was like Gudu to me. How Gudu was to Saru. My older brother was my idol. I followed him. He was older than I. So I simply followed my older brother, and I remember walking with him on the sidewalk because we got lost. We didn't know how to get home. We missed the bus. We didn't speak a word of English. And my brother stopped this person on the street, and he said these words, one word, downtown, because he knew how to get home from downtown. So all he says, downtown, and the man says, shala, 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 shala. That's what I heard, okay? And then my brother looks at him, and he looks at me, and he looks at Batman, and he says, downtown. And the man simply pointed. And I remember walking with my brother, walking towards downtown, because if we got to downtown, we could find our way home. That's getting lost. Being lost is entirely different. Being lost is like when I was in the high school. I was going through this identity crisis. I didn't know who I was. Was I Korean? Was I an American? And I remember changing my name 3 times, back and forth, back and forth. Korean name, American name, Korean name, Japanese name, Korean name. I was so lost. I was lost. I didn't get lost. I was lost. Moving forward, being lost is like you may know who you are, but you don't know who you are. You may know your name, you may know your background, but you don't know what your identity is. Have you been there? Have you ever asked yourself, who am I? Furthermore, it's not just the identity issue, it's about destiny. What is life all about? I remember back in the university years, what am I going to do? What will I major in? What will I work? What is life all about? I didn't know. I was lost. Play it through, okay? Fundamentally, at the core of every human being, we have this universal need. You may be happily married. You may be, you may have happy children. You may have good life. You may have good work. But then, you know, one of those times when you go, is there more to life than this? Is there something beyond? What is my destiny? What is the thing that keeps all these things together? If you don't have those fundamental existential answers, you are, may I humbly say, you are lost. It's a human need. One person that I know who dealt with this need of finding home was St. Augustine. He pursued life, and he was asking all those questions. He felt lost, and yet he was very popular. He was very educated. He had a great job, being a university professor, and he was quite the ladies' man. In fact, he sought pleasure in relationships. He sought pleasure in sex. He sought pleasure in life. And yet, he felt, I am still lost. It was a longing, yearning, a quest for him to find out, am I home? And he realized he wasn't home. And then he found the answer. Listen to this. He says, and here's a quote. Augustine said, our hearts are lost. The word that he used was restless. Our hearts are lost until they rest in God. Your heart is lost. Your heart, your soul is restless until you find your rest in God and in God alone. He says, every human being, every one of us, has this vacuum in our heart. And it is empty. There's void. And you're trying to fill that void because you feel being lost. And you feel you're not home. And you try to fill that with career. You try to fill that with relationship. You try to fill it with whatever you have in your life. And Augustine says, you will never find rest. You will always be feeling lost until you find your rest in God. That is the doctrine of alienation. Have you ever felt that way? If you haven't, you will. And I bet you, each and every one of you has asked the question, am I at home? Or am I lost? Is my soul fully satisfied beyond description? Is my heart fully quenched of its thirst because I have found home? That was the quest that Saru set his journey on. Because we are lost until Jesus Christ brings us home. So here's the theme sentence for us, something that I want you to remember this by. We are lost until Jesus Christ brings us home. I am lost, you are restless, and all of us are orphans until Jesus brings us home. Let me bring this to the Bible, because the Bible addresses this issue as well. In fact, it is one of the major themes of the Bible, and we find the scripture reading in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Okay? It's kind of hard to understand, so I gotta move slowly and make some comments along the way. Okay? Now, you will hear the phrase, those who live according to the flesh, those who live according to the spirit. What that means is those of us who live according to the flesh, the Bible says, those are the people who are lost, who are orphans, who feel alienated from God, okay, and from one another. And those of us who live according to the Spirit, it's referring to those of us who have become children of God through the divine adoption by Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's read this together. Listen. Those who live according to the flesh, those who have been orphaned, they have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Okay? I'll come back to that. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, meaning those who have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ, they have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Let's stay here just a bit. Okay? Saru got lost because he lost his way. His brother told Saru, I'll be right back. don't go anywhere. His brother was late coming back. Saru began searching for him. He got on the train. The train took off, and he was 1,500 kilometers away from home, and then he was forever lost. But unlike Saru, we got lost, not because we got lost, but because we left God. Listen, those who live according to the flesh, that word flesh, in the Greek language, in the biblical term, that is so jam-packed with all kinds of doctrinal knowledge. This is what it means. All of us, the Bible says, we have rejected God and we have left our home. When we left God, we left our home. And that's when we began feeling lost. Not that we got lost, we chose to reject God's love. We chose to reject who God is. We chose to reject all that God offers. There's a place in the book of Isaiah where God says, I gave birth to my children and I reared them up, but they rebelled against me and left me behind. That's what it means. Those who live according to the flesh are each and every one of us, the human race. We have rejected God and went on our own way. Another place in the book of Isaiah, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. If you know your Bible, in Luke, there's a parable that Jesus tells about this young son who says to his father, Father, I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance from you. That is our story. None of us would want to stay with God because we have this rebellious inclination. We want to be our own God. We want to be our own maker. We want to make a name for ourselves. When it comes to your identity, you rather be your own self. You rather make your name great, not God's name great. It's about I, me, and mine. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took the fruit. That was a declaration, a war cry against saying, God, we don't want you. We want to be our own God. In terms of security, we rather not rely on God or anyone else, but we rather rely on ourselves. We want to be our own, the maker of our future. Let our security rest in our own hands, in what we do, in what we produce. Let's continue. Next verse. Verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh, those of us who have rejected God and have become orphans, the mind governed by the flesh is death. And we see that in the movie, how Saru was lost and he was facing all kinds of danger, and he was cold, he was hungry, and he was scared. All of that is defined by that. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And that's the transformation that happens to those of you who become God's children through Jesus Christ's adoption. Life and peace. Have you received that life? Have you received that peace? Do you experience being a child of God? Verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is what? Let's read verse 7 together in one voice. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Listen. Each one of us, you will find this offensive, and I want to make this impressed upon you, okay? I need some shock value. All of us are hostile to God. Not just ignorant as to who he is. In our inclination, in our heart, we don't want God. In fact, we made God our enemy. How so? When we rejected his love. When we rejected his care for us. When we said, we'd rather be our own God than serve you or trust you. The reason you don't trust God, the reason you don't receive his love is because you want to be your own deity yourself. And that's what it means that each and every one of us, is hostile to God. Not just, you know, neutral, ignorant sense, but we are offensively hostile to God. And we do not want to submit ourselves to God's law, His love, nor are we able to do so. That is the human nature. And this is the bad news. We are forever lost if it were left up to us. Next verse. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now, we're going to watch another clip here. Now, here's where the story turns. Once Saru realizes that he is lost, and his quest for finding his family becomes an overwhelming drive in his life, here's a scene where he declares why he wants to do this. Let's watch this.
Saru, you need to face reality.
What do you mean, reality? Do you have any idea what it's like knowing my real brother and mother spend every day of their lives looking for me? Huh? How every day my real brother screams my name. Can you imagine the pain they must be in not knowing where I am? Huh? 25 years, Luce. 25!
Why didn't you tell me that was happening for you?
We swung about in our privileged lives. It makes me sick. I have to find her. They need to know I'm okay.
Okay. Did you feel the weight? Did you feel the sense of the angst? In the words of Saru saying, do you realize what it's like knowing that your mom, your brother, they are looking for you every day, not knowing that you are alive? I want to find home. I want to go to them so that they may know that I am alive and safe. So he starts this journey. And miraculously, through this device called Google Earth, miraculously, he finds his hometown. So that's how he is later on united. Here's what the Bible says in response to that. Okay, let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Here comes the good news. Listen up, people. Here's the good news as to what your life can be in Jesus Christ. Okay? For those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? The children of God. You are no longer orphans, even though you are lost. Those of you who are led by the Spirit of God, you are a new creation. You are God's children. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves or orphans again, so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit you received, brought about your adoption to sonship. Through Jesus Christ, we cry, Abba, Father. That phrase, Abba, is an Aramaic word. It's not translatable. It's like daddy, it's like papa, but without losing the reverence and the respect and the honor. Okay? So you have both the closeness and the intimacy with your father, and yet you maintain your love and honor and respect and the closeness all together. That's what it means, Abba, Father. That word is never mentioned in the entire Bible. Only place that we find this is Jesus referring to God the Father as my Abba. Abba, Father. We who are lost because of our own rebellion, because we have rejected God, we who have been orphaned, we are brought into the life, the family of God's family through Jesus Christ, and we cry, Abba, Father. That is the transformation that Jesus Christ brings. Let's continue. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The way that you know that you are a child of God, the way you are, the way you know for sure with certainty that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, is because the Holy Spirit, who has brought you into this adoption of God's family, he testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, meaning all who Jesus is in the eye of God the Father, his only true son. We become a God's child, co-heir with Christ. Just like who Jesus is to God the Father, we become that person in his eyes. Question to you. What's the greatest blessing that you could ever receive from God? Is it health? No. Is it wealth? No. Is it salvation? Let me surprise you. No. Is it going to heaven? No. There's a greater blessing. The greatest blessing that God could give you is by becoming your Father in heaven. That is higher privilege, higher honor, greater blessing than you being saved or you entering into heaven. Angels don't get to call God their Father, Abba. But those who come into Christ, we get to do that. Friends, let me just impress this upon you. There is no greater blessing than you being able to call, address this God of the universe, your Abba Father. If that could happen through Jesus Christ, then everything else will come, fall into right place. Let me quote J.I. Packer. J.I. Packer was this, you know, giant theologian in the Great Britain. He asks, what is a Christian? He answers, the question can be answered in many different ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God for her Father. In other words, we are designed to live in God's family. There is no greater blessing than you being able to address God as your Abba Father. Corrie ten Boom, the great Dutch woman, her faith was a giant faith. And she attributed to that to her relationship with her dad. Okay? Every night, she would lie in bed, and she would say, Papa, I'm ready. Her dad would come in. He would pray with her, for her. And then she would place his hand upon her cheek and say, Corrie, my precious daughter, I love you. Fall asleep. And he would stay there with his hand on her cheek until she would fall asleep. That closeness, that intimate relationship kept Corrie through the difficult times in the concentration camp, remembering that God the Father has become Abba Father through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you know about God? I think some of you will say, yes, I know about God. Do you believe in God? Oh, I think many of you will say, yes, I believe in God. But that's not what this is about. If we are lost, and if we become God's child through Jesus Christ, through the adoption, then you get to experience God as your Abba Father. Do you have that relationship? Do you have that intimacy? Because if you don't, all you have is the knowledge and the information without the relationship. Only those of us. If Jesus Christ comes to you and says, you are forever lost, but I'm going to love you, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to bring you home, and he will adopt you into God's family forever. It's the doctrine of adoption. Now, remember the clip there? Okay, it was Saru finding his family home, right? Okay, for us, we are not finding our way home. Remember, we left home. Volitionally, we left home on our own. Jesus Christ, the older brother, comes all the way. It's not we searching God. It's rather our older big brother, Jesus Christ, looking for each and every one of you. He says, I love you, and I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to bring you home. And he paid the price. He left home, heaven. He came down and he died in order for him to save you and me. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me offer three ways how you may make this relevant in your life. Just three ways, okay? Because when you are lost, Christ brings us home, right? First application would be like this. Remember the word ark, A-R-K. Number one, acknowledge that you are lost from God the Father. Acknowledge that. Not the do you know about God? Not the do you believe in God? Are you a child of God? Do you feel, experience that intimacy and the security? And if you don't, you are lost. And you need to acknowledge that to God and to yourself. I am lost. And it gets better. Number two, the letter R. Rejoice being adopted into the family of God, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, your older brother. Rejoice. There is celebration at the end of the movie when Saru is united with his mother and his sister. There is such a revelry, rejoicing, partying. In fact, the whole village comes out and they're dancing and clapping and celebrating because a son was lost, but now he's found and he has come home. So you need to, I need to, we want to each day rejoice in this great declaration and celebration. A-R-K. Third, know your identity, security, and destiny. If you are a child of God, you got to know who you are. Your sense of worth is defined not by what you do, not defined what the world says you are, but define who you are in Jesus Christ. And therefore, your security is sound and solid. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or down the road. No matter what you face, whether it be sickness, illness, unemployment, if you are found in Jesus Christ, God has you in his arms. You are secure. And lastly, destiny. This is what your life is all about. Your life is to be lived out as a child of God, which brings joy, peace, meaning, and purpose, and you make a difference in your life in this world. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this movie, but more importantly, thank you for your word that we have received. We want to acknowledge, we need to acknowledge that we are lost without you, and we want to rejoice being found in you and only by you, in you, through Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy and blessing than for us to be declared children of the Most High God. Father, we get to call you Abba. Abba, Father, thank you so much. Now, help us to remember and know and experience what it means to live as your child in this world. Make a difference. Make a difference, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Friends, I want to give a moment for you to respond to what you have heard and felt and saw today. Will you do those three things? Will you acknowledge that you are lost? Say that in your heart. Just be honest with God. Be honest. It starts, your coming home starts with this confession and acknowledgement. Would you receive Jesus Christ as your older brother who finds you and brings you home? Commit to him. Speak to him now. And will you live confidently in your identity, security, and your destiny? No matter what you're facing today, bring all these matters to God in your heart, in your prayer now. Yes, Lord Jesus, I was once lost, now I am found. I was once dead, now I'm alive. Thank you so much for coming after me and bringing me home. In the name of Christ we pray. And everyone said, amen. I have one question that was sent to the Q&A number. The question reads, Saru seems to be relying on his own plans and needs. Where is God in his life? Okay. Now, I don't know how to answer that question, because I don't know in the movie, and I haven't read the book myself, I don't know where Saru stands with respect to Jesus Christ. Is he, now, because this movie was not made as an expression or explanation of this doctrine that we just received. It was about his life, right? So I don't know where God was in Saru's life. But let me just interject here. There's a scene where Saru faces Sue, played by Nicole Kidman, and he said, I am sorry that my brother and I, the adopted children, we are such a mess, okay? Sorry that you couldn't have your own biological children. Meaning, and then Nicole responds by saying, we could have had our own children. It's not that we are infertile that we adopted you. We chose to adopt you instead of having our own biological children, okay? Now, I'm just reading into this. If the parents of Saru, the adopted parents, if they are followers of Jesus Christ and their conviction and their value came out of that belief and faith, okay, then I'm going to interject or guess. Maybe Saru has received some of it. I don't know, because the movie does not deal with that. And I don't know how to answer this question other than to say, God is sovereign over all things in every human being. But not every human being, even though God loves everyone, but not everyone is a child of God. That's what I need you to say. God loves everyone. Amen? But not everyone is a child of God. That takes a special covenant relationship, which is only possible through Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. So I'm going to pray. I wish Saru has that. I wish each and every one of you has this adoption into God's family through Jesus Christ. Okay? Since there was only one question, is there any other question that you want to address on the spot? What's the edge? Yeah. Any quick? Okay, good? Good? All right. Okay. Well, hey, I am anticipating something really cool about the Hunger Game message. Entirely different genre. It's all fiction, but it deals with something that's so unique and interesting and so powerful in our lives. So you don't want to miss that. The showing of the movie will be Friday night, 7:30 in the lower level. Contact Pastor Une or Pastor Ann for more information. And you can always check out the schedule on our website. If you go to our website, click on the God in the Movie logo, and it will send you to all the information page as well.